Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson which you heard read previously from the 19th chapter of John. And I'd just like to read a few more verses that follow on that same passage. We'll begin in verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another Scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. This is the word of the Lord. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. As a result of a spear being thrust into Jesus' side and presumably penetrating his heart, both water and blood flowed from that wound. When the soldier came to break the bones to hasten death, he found Jesus lifeless. But to remove all doubt, he thrust that spear into his side. Many physiological reasons have been suggested to explain why both water and blood came from his side. The idea advanced by some medical doctors is that the spear pierced the pericardium, which is a membrane that surrounds the heart. From this punctured membrane, both blood and clear fluid or water came from his side. The separation of blood and water is pointed to as evidence that Jesus was already dead. As this is what happens when a human heart stops pumping, fluids separate and settle. The point is, Jesus was really and truly deceased, which is a matter of ultimate significance. Scripture makes the claim, Jesus died. The description of the event in John's Gospel corroborates this claim, providing a physical post-mortem for anyone to examine. Yet there is even more to it than that. The refusal of the soldiers to break Jesus' legs and the piercing of his side with a spear were marks of prophecy. In fact, the Roman soldiers fulfilled two prophecies that day in order that it might be fully known beyond all doubt that Jesus was the Messiah God had promised to send. The prophets of the Old Testament gave many marks of identification. All of these had to be found in the one person who would be the great Savior and King. One of those prophecies fulfilled by the Roman soldiers is stated in John, verse 36, "For these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken." This is a quote of Exodus 12, verse 46. not one of his bones shall be broken, was a command of God to the Jewish people about their Passover lambs. The Passover lamb put to death at every single Passover meal. The Passover lamb was a picture of the Messiah. The Apostle Paul interprets this for us in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For even Christ our Passover lamb is sacrificed for us." As Israel was under the command not to break a bone of the Passover lamb that they were about to eat. So this Roman soldier was destined not to break a bone in Jesus' body. The soldier didn't know it, but God saw to it that no argument could be brought against Jesus as the ultimate, once and for all, Passover lamb. Truly, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In this very same passage, John quotes another prophecy fulfilled by the water and the blood from the side of Jesus. "They shall look on him whom they pierced." That's a quote from Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. The complete prophecy sounds like this: "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look on me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. And they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for their firstborn." That prophecy continues in Zechariah 13, verse 1. "In that day, a fountain shall be opened up for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness." Zechariah's prophecy was fulfilled in Jerusalem, ultimately on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people mourned in repentance and were cleansed and forgiven in baptism, cleansed in a fountain opened here at the cross with a spear. The water and the blood of Jesus as the source, as the wellspring of all redemption. The water and the blood mentioned in this passage has motivated writers to produce some of our greatest hymns. One of those is Rock of Ages. First verse says, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me of its guilt and power." What does it mean to call Jesus the Rock of Ages? Well, this is, of course, poetry. It's poetry with a purpose. The song speaks of hiding ourselves in the rock. And then it connects the water and the blood of Jesus to that rock as the way into that hiding place. The water and the blood cleanses us of two things: the guilt and the power of sin. And the rock in that hymn is a rock that has been cleft, meaning that it's been split. There is a space in that rock in which a person can fit and hide and be protected. And this hymn is partially based on the rock mentioned in Exodus 33, verse 22. There, Moses is found hiding in a cleft, hiding in a hollow place in a rock that protected him from the full glory and holiness of God as he passed by. It was a hiding place, a place of protection, because God was near. And Moses could not survive the close presence of the Lord. He was sinful. God was perfectly holy, blazing holy in His justice, and something had to give. So God placed him in that cleft for His own good. The hymn writer was expressing a marvelous truth by comparing Christ to a rock in whom we can hide from that blazing justice of God in the face of judgment. And the hymn tells us how we hide in Christ, our rock of protection, by saying, "Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power." The great truth of the hymn is that you can find a hiding place from the wrath of God against sin in Jesus. The way into that hiding place is through the water and the blood that started flowing from His wounded side. This blood and this water not only cleanses us from the guilt of sin, but the power of sin. In other words, it removes both the consequences of our sin and it removes the attraction that we have to sin. It does that by pointing you to something greater, to the One who really died so that you could really live. Jesus is your rock, your hiding place. He covers you in the sight of His Father. The spear of that soldier opened the most precious stream to ever flow. It fulfilled the prophetic words of Zechariah. They will look on the One they have pierced. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. That fountain has been opened also for you. The stream flows for you. Let it draw you to the side of Jesus, truly the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Will you please pray with me? Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Amen.